In just a moment, I am going to put a picture up on the screen behind me. Once it's up there, it will be there for 10 seconds, and then it will disappear. The picture that I'm going to show you is a picture that has been photoshopped. Those of you who do not know what that means, simply means it's been altered. Someone messed with it. They took away an element that was in the picture. And consequently, there's a fatal flaw that's found in the picture. I want to see how many people can figure out what that flaw is, what they've done to it. So you'll have 10 seconds, look at it. If you think you know what the answer is, raise your hand, but do not say what it is. No giving the answer away. Just raise your hand, and then we'll check and see how many people figured it out correctly. Are you ready? That is, raise your hand if it's not too short. There we go. I see one hand, I see two, I see three, four, five, a couple. All right, about 10 people. Okay, very good. Okay, 3 for 3. Take a look at the picture once again. If this was a piece of artwork and you were going to give it a title, what would you title this piece of art? Huh? Three women on a bench. Yes. Notice what they are not sitting on. The bench. The slats of what they should be sitting on have been removed. If this was the case, if the photo hadn't been touched, they couldn't do that. That would almost be impossible, at least for any length of time, to sit like that. But how many of you didn't even come close? Now I won't ask you to say. The point of this is simply this. Oftentimes in life, we see problems. And I suggest there are some other things that you might have suggested, and I'll get to that a little bit later on. Some other things that, this shouldn't be this way or that way or so forth. And we miss the things that are really important. This morning in our study in the Gospel of Mark, we have a story of a man who was blind. His name is Bartimaeus. But in this passage, he sees what's really important. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to break this down into its component parts and then make some application at the end. First of all, we see the person by the name of Bartimaeus. He is identified in verse 46 as the son of Timaeus. And whenever you see the B-A-R in a Hebrew name, that literally is Aramaic for son of. Timaeus, if it's an Aramaic word, means unclean. So literally his name means son of the unclean. Now, son of can be used in a generational sense, father-son relationship, or it can be also used in a qualitative sense. For example, Jesus was the Son of God. Well, that's not generation. That's talking about his qualities. The Antichrist is called the Son of Perdition. Well, there wasn't a man by the name of Perdition who gave a birth to him, simply meaning he is personifying perdition or lawlessness. And it could be here that either Bartimaeus, his father was unclean, and consequently he's the son of an unclean father, or he himself was so unclean that he personified uncleanliness. I'm not sure which way to take it, possibly even both ways is there. But nonetheless, here's a man who had a problem. He was blind, couldn't see a thing. Scripture doesn't tell us what caused his blindness. Maybe it was that he was born with it. Maybe somewhere along the lines of his life he had an accident that he lost his sight. Maybe it was some type of disease that caused him to lose his sight. Whatever the case, it's not stated. He had no sight. That has a consequence to it. He was reduced to begging. And in verse 46, he sat along the side of the road, and that's what he did. Back in those days, there was no welfare system, no social security, nothing along those lines. You were expected to provide for your own needs, and if you couldn't provide for your own needs, all you could do was beg, if you had no family to take care of you. And apparently, there was no family that was either wanting or able to take care of Bartimaeus. And there he sat, begging. No projects that would help him with his blindness. No cure for his blindness. He was unable to cure himself, unable to provide sustenance to himself. All he could do was beg. Fortunately, he was in a good place for begging. He was in Jericho. Now, the Old Testament city of Jericho had been destroyed, but King Herod the Great had rebuilt a Jericho about a mile and a half or three quarters south of the old Jericho. He had made it his winter residence because the climate there was very, very warm in the winter. He had spent tons of money in building up this area, and consequently it was an area of affluence. And I guess if you're going to be begging, that's a good place to beg. But all the begging that he did couldn't solve his problem. All the prosperity that was there was not sufficient as a provision for his need. All they could do is just basically get him from day to day to day, but never change his situation. And now he hears that Jesus is coming along. And notice that when he heard that, he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Interesting, as you look at that, there's two things that we see about his recognition of who Jesus is. He calls him first the Son of David. It's a messianic title. One that the kingdom would come through. Not only associated with the fact that he would one day rule this world, but the Messiah would have the ability. One of the specific things concerning the Messiah was that he would be able to give sight to the blind. There's my solution. Jesus, thou Son of David, you're my hope. You're my solution. You're my salvation. But notice then he says this, "Have mercy on me." He didn't say, "Cure my blindness." He said, "Have mercy on me." Not only does he recognize how great God is and how great are the messianic claims for Jesus, but he recognizes his own spiritual condition. Have mercy. Mercy always indicates not receiving something that is justly deserved, such as punishment. Here I am. I'm the son of an unclean one, or the embodiment of sin, uncleanliness. I deserve your judgment. Maybe that's why I'm blind. But You're the one who can take that away from me. Have mercy on me. Well, you would think that everyone would be enthused about this man's declaration here. And verse 48 says, "And many charged him, be quiet. Hold your peace. Button your lip. Don't mess with the master." There they were, and they were telling him to not present his request unto Christ. Why would they do such a thing? Because they saw Bartimaeus day in and day out. They obviously realized, or at least you would think they would realize, that here's an opportunity for God to display His glory and His grace and His power in such a wonderful way. Let her rip! And they're saying, no, be quiet. You see, maybe the reason was, we've got more important things on our minds today than the healing of a blind person. Yeah, we're on our way to Jerusalem. Here's the Messiah. The Messiah is going to enter the city and the kingdom is going to come. And everything's going to... You think prosperity here in Jericho is good? Wait till He takes over. I mean, we're going to get rid of all the traces of Herod and all the traces of Rome, and we're going to be back to that fantastic nation that we once were. And, oh, things are going to be great. We don't have time for a miracle. Isn't that sad? We don't have time for God to display His glory. This is a greater priority. So, Bartimaeus, be quiet. But he cried out the more a great deal. He continued to call out his needs. Why? Because Jesus may never pass that way again. In fact, He wouldn't. Now, Bartimaeus didn't know that. But the fact of the matter is, that was the one chance that he had, and he was going to take it. And let me step away for just a second here and provide a note of encouragement to you. Let me ask a question. When Bartimaeus first cried out, "Son of David, have mercy upon me," do you think Jesus heard him? Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, there was this big throng of people around them. That's what verse 46 says, his disciples and a great number of people. And undoubtedly, there was a lot of noise and commotion and probably talking and so forth. And maybe in a physical sense, Jesus didn't hear him. Maybe. Second question. Jesus being the omniscient God, did He know the needs of Bartimaeus? And while He may not have physically heard him, although He may have, He knew of those needs. And yet, His first response was to keep on going. There are times that the believer will cry out a need to God, and it seems as if God doesn't hear us. But He knows. We have a promise given to us, 1 John chapter 5. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the things that we ask for. For whatever reason, there was a delay in the response of Jesus. Only He had a purpose in it. But nonetheless, He heard. And consequently, He stood still. Think about that for just a moment. He is on His way to Jerusalem. He is going to present Himself as Israel's Messiah. And ultimately, He's on His way to His crucifixion so that He could provide for the salvation of mankind. Is anything more important than that? It was to Bartimaeus. He stopped dead in his tracks. Because every aspect, no matter seemingly how trivial it is in the will of God, is important. No matter how small your request may seem, God will stop in His tracks if it's in His will to answer it. he stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Look at the call. First of all, Jesus didn't call him himself. He could have. He could have said, Bart, come on over here. But he didn't do that. He said, I want you to go and to call him. So there was some who went. And notice how they called him. Be of good comfort. Let me rephrase that just a little bit. Yeah, maybe I'm taking some liberties, maybe not. Bartimaeus, I've got good news for you. You've been struggling all these years. Your prayer is about to be answered. Rise, for the Master is calling for you. He's not calling for everybody. He's calling for you personally. Notice how he responded. Verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose, came to Jesus. There he is in that garment. Probably at this point in time, he was sitting on it. We're talking early spring. If it was a warm winter there, spring probably was even a little bit warmer. Probably didn't have the need for the garment other than he's sitting along the side of the highway. He used it as a cushion. Why would he cast it aside? I'm not going to need this anymore. That's the faith that he had. Casting aside his garment and getting rid of his old life, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, what is it that you want me to do for you? And he could have said, you know what, Lord? I've been sitting by the side of this road for years now, begging. If only I had a house. If only I had so much money that I wouldn't have to beg anymore. If only there was a welfare system. Oh, wait, the government will corrupt that. Why did he want his sight? Well, that seems like an obvious answer, doesn't it? Or question? Actually, no, think about it for a moment. What is the purpose of living? To accomplish the will of God. In its essence, that's the will. That's your purpose for being here. To accomplish the will of God. As a blind person, how well was he able to do that? He was hindered. And if he had his sight, he could be about going where God would want him to go and doing what God would want him to do. And he couldn't do this. If I had my sight, I could accomplish your purposes. And I wouldn't have to be begging. But that's just a plus. Oftentimes when we share the good news with people, we say, wouldn't you like to go to heaven? Well, of course, who wouldn't? But may I say to you, the purpose of going, of getting saved and coming to Christ is not to go to heaven. That's the benefit. That's the extra purpose of trusting Christ and being saved is that you can accomplish the will of God both now and forever in His presence in heaven. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Notice it says, thy faith hath made thee whole, not well. Not sighted, although he received his sight. When a person comes to Christ, it affects more than just the things that ail his physical body. Positionally, before God, we stand perfect. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say in the first chapter of the letter to the Colossians, we are complete in Christ, whole. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and he went his way. He went back into the city and found a place. No, it says, and he followed Jesus. The true mark of anyone who makes a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what does he do afterwards? And immediately this man followed Christ. He had a need. I'm blind. but I see my need. And there is the person who can take care of it. Now, let me make some applications. I would suggest that the possibility is within this room this morning, there are three types of people found in this passage. Possibly there are some Bartimaeus types here this morning. Now, you're not physically blind, but spiritually blind. And you can't see where it is that you're going in life, especially eternity. But I got good news for you. Jesus Christ is here. He's passing by. And the offer of salvation and forgiveness of sins and the imputation of righteousness and an eternal home in heaven and a changed character and the opportunity to be a servant of the Most High God awaits you. You can actually start fulfilling the will of God in your life right now by trusting Christ as Savior. But He may not ever pass this way again. Bartimaeus saw the opportunity and responded. Now, I don't know. Maybe another opportunity will come along in your life. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, could be that you have 1,000 opportunities to trust Him in the future. And it could be that you have none. Take advantage of what you see before you. Many of you that are here this morning are like the ones that Jesus used to call this man to Christ. They went out, they communicated good news, and they brought him to Jesus. And I just have one word of encouragement. Keep it up. All there is to it. You're doing well. But then there are those that were the discouragers. I'll go back to my picture here. Let me suggest some things that maybe you were looking at. First of all, the girl on the left, she needs a new pair of jeans. That's all there is to it. I know that is stylish. When I was a kid, that was Goodwill. They were thrown out. In fact, Goodwill wouldn't have even gotten them. And you say, well, you know, that's just horrendous. She should really have a new pair of jeans. Okay, well, you can debate that one. How about the other two girls? The one in the black jacket, when I first saw that, I looked at her right hand. And I said, you know what? That looks like a left hand. That's what they did. They messed up her arms. Then I looked at it a little bit more closely, and actually it looks like she's grabbing a cell phone or something, and she's holding it this way. And it's correct. But then I said to myself, that look on their faces, they're sitting too close together. They need to be separated. That looks like trouble just waiting to happen. We see the bare spots in the ground, and we say, what happened to those bare spots there? They need to pour some grass seed on that and fertilize that and get the people off of it. And then I looked, and then I said, wait a minute. There's three girls, and they all have jackets on, and there's this guy. I don't know if this thing works. Wait a minute. Hold the bus. Ooh. That guy right there. He's got shorts on. Okay. Which one of them is wrong? But we see all these things, and you can debate whether they're right, wrong, or anything else. That's not the most important thing, is it? And some of us get so caught up in these arguable issues. And we miss the fact that these three girls can't do what they're supposed to be doing. And we're not bringing people to Christ. That's what we're to be doing. That's the issue. That's what really, really matters. Do you see what really matters? Or do you see the other issues? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bartimaeuses in life. People who have struggled, recognized their need, saw the answer to their need in the person of Jesus Christ, who have come to Him in faith and then followed Him the same way. Redeemed. Whole. Lord, I thank You for each and every one that's here this morning who has such a testimony. And Lord, may our following of You be ever faithful. Lord, I would pray that if there is even just one here this morning, or as many as might be here this morning, who are now recognizing the need that they might have for the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness to stand before a holy God that's missing in their lives, just like that bench seat was missing. Might they reach out in simple faith like Bartimaeus, call upon the One who is able to save them. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Lord, I pray that simple faith of Bartimaeus would be found in such a one today that has a need. And Lord, encourage us above everything else here this morning to be found faithful bringing people to Christ. The news doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be good. Come to Christ. Calvary's cross died for your sins. And He wants you to follow Him. Lord, do a wonderful work that we might see what really matters. And in seeing that, see Your glory displayed. We pray in Jesus' name.